going to start tonight. Next week, I'm going to be really sharing about the attacks that you face in this area. And I'm actually going to give you the solutions to those attacks. So tonight, I'm actually going to live out before you Ephesians. I'm going to equip you. I'm going to equip you. And my heart is always to equip you. Ephesians 4:11-16 says the fivefold gift is to equip you to be able to live successful lives, to give you the tools. So this has been a verse, and so a couple of places I want you to turn your Bible if you're taking notes. 3 John chapter 1, which there's only one chapter. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Proverbs 16:24, and one more, Matthew 12. 34 to 37. So 3 John 1 to 2 and 3, Proverbs 16, and Matthew 12. And there's this verse in 3 John that has really kind of been wrecking my life. I've read this verse hundreds of times. And every time I've read it, I've had this thought, I'd like to know what that means. Lord, I want to know what the fullness of this. So several months ago, I was just going in my devotion, and I came across this verse in 3 John, verse 2, and it hit me again. And when I read it, the Lord said, stop. I want to speak to you about this verse. And so it's a powerful verse. How many of you have read this verse? Okay. Well, let me tell you, I'm not going to read the verse. I'll read it in a moment. This verse declares that the areas that you're not prosperous or healthy in is actually a soul issue. That's pretty heavy, right? A soul issue. And when you talk to people sometimes about body, soul, and spirit, they really can't define what that looks. So what I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to lay a foundation for next Sunday, and I want to talk to you about this verse because it deals with the individual believer. It deals with the, once again, I hate to say this, but it's so true. As in the fivefold gifts, sometimes we make sheep codependent on us, and we're doing them an injustice because they're never able to live out their identity in Christ. They actually look to us or other people for their identity. I mean, look at the world. People look to actors, to singers, to musicians, to preachers, to prophets, and I'm not against any of that. It's all great. It only becomes damaging when you start looking to people for your identity. And so this is a powerful truth. In other words, it's not your responsibility for me. It's going to be great. I'm telling you, it's going to be fun. It's not my responsibility for you. 3 John is an individual truth concerning you and your responsibility. So when I'm studying this, I'm trying to figure out, okay, Lord, what areas am I not prospering in? What areas do I don't have health in? I have a book. I can't remember the name of it now. It's got like 100 or some ways or 1,000 some ways. It's all about miracles and health issues, and these doctors have discovered. I can't think of the name of it. It's a Better Life. Anyway, it's an interesting book, and it lists all these conditions of the heart and how they connect to conditions and diseases. And these are just actual specialists, brain surgeons, cancer specialists. It blew my mind. It's so much you can't even go through it. So the Lord says it's important that you equip yourself in the time that's coming for the perfection. And it's not about being perfect. This is the thing about Revelation. Revelation is not always instant transformation. Sometimes revelation grows in you. You have to grow with the process of the truth that you're getting. And so sometimes we don't define what that looks like. So we have to narrow in and kind of figure out. So my question for myself in studying this and getting this ready, so Lord, what are the main issues with my soul? If I was to make a list of 5 things that are the issues in my soul that are robbing me of prosperity, and I'll talk about what that means in a moment, they're robbing me from prosperity or they're robbing me from health, what would they be? Because I know that you're wanting to perfect me in that area. And that word perfecting in Ephesians 4:11-16 that we're supposed to do as leaders for you, that word perfecting means to completely furnish you with the tools that you need. Listen, I can give you a hammer, but I can't make you hammer nails. I can give you a saw, but I can't make you saw wood. I can give you, you know, a recipe, but I can't make you cook it. At some point, you have to decide. It also means to furnish, to frame, to restore, to repair, and to mend. So I decided to call this for just, you know, for me, names are important. I always ask the Lord, what do you want me to talk about? What do you want me to call this? And so I felt like the Lord wanted me to call this the soul factor. And I absolutely have no idea what that meant when he gave it. I just wrote it down. I wrote down in my notes, the soul factor. But here's what the word factor means. Listen to this. It means one that actively contributes to the production of a result. One that actively contributes to the production of a result. It also means a service or a labor or a responsibility in the process of production. So in other words, the soul factor is something that you do that affects your soul and produces you and positions you to be able to prosper in life and have a healthy body. So I'm going to teach, and healthy body could be fullness. This is a fullness verse. This is a fullness verse. So back to 3 John 1 and 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. The original language says even as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. The truth that is in you. Just, this is part two, just as you walk in that truth. So I don't know how much you're a word person. The thing with me when I'm preparing any kind of a series, if it's on a particular word, I'll look at every verse in the Bible almost that has that word in it. From every perspective, I'll view it from every. So this word soul throughout Scripture, I think is honestly probably one of the most missed power truths in the Bible. I don't think we talk about it a lot. And I don't think we talk about it a lot because it requires responsibility. And sadly enough, we want the quick fix, do we not? Pray for me and I'm fine. Counsel me and I'm fine. Right? Give me a shot and I'll be fine. But we know that's not true. So we want this quick fix. So prosper here in the Greek means to succeed in your reaching. What are you reaching for? What are you after? Because sometimes we can get so wore out in our souls we don't even reach anymore. You know, the sneaky thing about religion is religion makes you content where you are and keeps you from reaching for more. It's a sneaky spirit, right? We underestimate his sneakiness. He's so sneaky. So this word prosper means to reach for more, but it also means succeed in your journey, succeed in your business, succeed to be good, to do well. And it means to make progress. One of the things that I've done since I've been saved, since I was 23, and I've done a lot of crazy things and dumb things, but one of the things if I take pleasure in my own life is I've never been content with where I'm at. I'm always going after truth. I'm always going after something to make my progress, to succeed in going further. And it's not necessarily in ministry as much as it is my own personal life. And it's not shame, it's not guilt, it's not conviction. It's just the drive to be perfected in who I am. And I think when we have damaged souls, the enemy talks us out of it, representing the Father, right? And it actually robs us from the release of revival. Okay? So this is John. John's writing this. He's the last surviving disciple that actually walked with Jesus. All the other disciples that walked with Jesus are dead. And so John is writing this and he's telling us this revelation. He's actually given us this revelation of how to prosper and be healthy. And he's saying it's directly, you may not know this, it's actually directly connected to your soul. Now listen, I'm not against money prosperity. I'm not against healthy living and healthy eating. I mean, you can tell. Anyway, like, I'm not against any of that stuff, okay? So if you want that, and that's all good, and I believe God prospers that. But what he's talking about here, what Paul's talking about here is being prospering in all things, the whole. See, you're a triune being. So your body, soul, and spirit. So you have to have a relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit because you're triune. The three greatest needs I'm not going to speak on tonight, the three greatest needs on your of your soul are triune. It's intimacy, connection, and comfort. There's three baptisms, the baptism into Jesus, the baptism in the water, the baptism. You are such a triune being that we don't realize that we need this connections. We need these certain things happening in our life so we can function and be healthy. So Paul narrows in on the area, your spirit man's great because you've been saved. Your spirit man's been revived. Some of you have experienced intimacy with the Holy Spirit. That's all great, but and you're, you know, you've got other stuff in your life that's going great. So John narrows in on this thing with your soul. And he says, hey, what about this? How would you like to experience full life prosperity? Full life prosperity. And what does that look like for us? So he's directing us towards a certain aspect of our life. Now listen to this. We have a tendency to think the outside first, but it's always the inside first. And I'll explain that in a moment. We tend to think that what it looks like on the outside defines how we are on the inside, but that's not always necessarily true in the church. In the world, a lot of times, it's pretty much true. But in the church, we have this way of hiding our soul and hiding who we are and hiding our issues and not being real and coming and putting on the mask of worship and sometimes you've got to worship through sometimes, but I'm just saying sometimes we live in that place because we define if I look good out here, people are going to assume that I'm okay in here. When the reality is you are actually the only person besides God that knows whether or not you're healthy in here. Your spouse doesn't know it. She may get glimpses of it. He may get glimpses of it. But you're actually the only person that really knows if you're healthy in here. And I've learned this. Miserable people will look for somebody to blame for their misery. It's just the transition of life. Because many times we don't want to deal. Have you ever watched, you know, those talk shows sometimes where all these people, they got on there and they're blaming everybody else for where they're at? We're in the blame game right now. We're in the blame game in the political agenda. We're in the blame game in the world, in the business arena. We're in the medical arena. We're in the blame for in the country arena. We're always looking for somebody to blame, right? Canada's doing it right now. It's coming into a communistic country, and they're looking for somebody to blame, but nobody wants to take responsibility. And so Paul says, if you want to step into biblical prosperity and health, you're going to have to take responsibility. And it begins within you first. Now listen, I know prosperous people, even in the church, that are miserable in their marriage. They have lots of money, but they're miserable in their relationships. And so the deception is, if I can look good out here, it will define me in here. What Paul's saying, no, what's in here defines you out here. And it's healthy. It's healthy. And so when I was reading this, you know, the Lord began to really deal with me about, okay, Jamie, let's talk about what the soul looks like. Let's talk about how that affects you. True prosperity equals a healthy soul. A healthy soul equals true prosperity. The question is, what is the soul? What is the soul? Because I hear a lot of people ask that question. So our soul in the Greek means our breath, our heart, and our mind. Our breath, our heart, I'm going to give you all the meanings. Our heart and our mind. And remember, he's talking about all things. He's not saying you're not going to have to deal with the issues of life because you have a healthy soul. He's saying you can deal with the issues of life and be victorious. It's health. You'll be healthy. You'll be able to manage it right. So in the Hebrew, it's the word nephesh. This is what the word in the Hebrew means. It means your appetite, your lust, your greed, your pleasure, your self-focus, your desire, your mind. It's bodily and mentally. It actually means nephesh, your whole person. Here's what he's saying. It's totally 100%. Your soul is an inside issue. I really love the Webster dictionary of this word. Listen to the Webster definition. It's emotional, it's emotionally or intellectually energy or intensity. Let me read it again. It's emotionally or intellectual energy and intensity. Have you ever met somebody that's super intelligent and they're super intense? No matter what you say, yeah, but, you know, the facts on that are, it's like, easy, dude. I was just talking about how good marshmallows were. It's not a big deal. I watched a guy share, my wife loves popcorn. One of the things, she'll go to a movie, even if she don't like it, just eat popcorn. So I watched an article today on a guy that was a brain surgeon that was talking about when you get past 40, that popcorn actually has the effect on the brain that affects your memory in a negative way. So it freaked me out. So I said to my wife, I said, let me tell you something about popcorn. Let me give you a revelation about the pop. And before I said it, I said, even though I know you're not going to stop eating it, it's supposed to affect your memory. And she said, what did you say? You can be so intellectual sometimes that you can miss revelation. If you're a contemplator, you can process sometimes so much that you overprocess. And it can bring confusion. But what about emotion? Ever meet somebody that's emotionally intense? Can I get a witness? Right? Ever try to communicate powerfully with somebody, and as soon as you start to, they instantly start to cry? You know what that is? That's an emotional distraction to reject truth. I'm not counseling here tonight. I'm just, it's a reality. We have emotional blockers from an unhealthy soul. In other words, from unhealthy thoughts, from an unhealthy core, from unhealthy truth, from unhealthy beliefs that will cause us to shut down certain truths because they're painful. We do it all the time. I've done it all the time. Anything that may bring shame or the past or regret. And so the problem with this issue is that these things keep us from opening our lives up to having healthy souls. So it messes with our thinking, messes with our thought process. Listen to this. It messes with our desires and appetites. It messes with our lens, how we see things, our self-focus. It majorly messes with how we see ourselves. How you see yourself is 100% a soul issue. It's not a Jesus issue. He knows how he sees you. And that's probably one of the greatest discoveries in my own life is taking time to soak and spend time with God and seeing how he sees me. So it's an inside thing. Now let me just say this. It can be very damaging on the inside if you equate succeeding with a healthy soul. It's not about succeeding, it's about a healthy soul. Not about achieving, it's about a healthy soul. A healthy soul creates the place of success, creates the place. And we always have a tendency to get this truth ahead of this truth, and God says, you got them backwards. And if you try to maintain this achieving, it actually leads this back thing here, which is supposed to be first your soul, into being unhealthy. So we have this obligation to maintain and manage our own soul. Listen to me. Your spouse can't even manage your soul. How many know you've had, I'm not going to say that, forget that, because I don't want you pointing or raising your hand or anything like that. We can get to a place where if you're not realizing, you're actually trying to manage or allowing somebody to manage your soul. If you try to allow somebody or you depend on somebody to manage your soul, it's actually an unholy vow that you're making, because you're asking somebody to manage a truth concerning your life that they cannot possibly achieve, and they fail. Now you have somebody to blame for an unhealthy soul. The only person that's responsible for your soul, other than your relationship with Jesus, is you yourself. And we as pastors sometimes can get guilty of creating an environment where sheep are dependent on us for managing your soul. We can give you truth to manage your soul, your thoughts, your process, your view, your concepts. Anybody have terrible desires? It's a soul issue. It's a soul issue. Listen, our issue is not a sin issue. Our issue is a soul issue. Because what's going on here, in here, is going to create the desires, it's going to create the lens, how we see and perceive people. It even creates the language that you choose to live in. That's the power of the soul. We feed the spirit man this much, and then we feed the soul man this much. We give the spirit man a little, and we give the soul man junk. I'm on a chip frenzy. I'm not a big chocolate guy, but man, you give me chips and it's on. And so this quarantine has not been good for Lay's. Probably great for Lay's, not good for me. So when we start equating the wrong things, God gives us wealth and adds no sorrow to it. You know why he adds no sorrow to it? Because in your wealth, your soul is healthy. Wealth can be unhealthy. Why? Because you can love riches. I see people give right up to the point they're blessed and God's knocking their socks off, and all of a sudden everything they're blessed with becomes about them, and they forget where it came from. At that moment, there's a transition that takes place in your soul. What your soul is the core of who you are. There's a transition that takes place in your thought process, your attitude, how you see your money, how you see your success. Once again, I'm not against any of those. I think that's God's design for his people. But I think the moment that you don't keep your soul healthy, connected to those things, listen, Israel's problem was the blessing became a curse. Right? I mean, read their story. Every time God blessed them, they got track of who the blessing came from and their relationship and their connection with God, and it actually cost them. It caused them many times to go back into slavery, back into punishment, back into all this stuff. So from the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, says, you were created a living soul. Some translation said being. Some translation says person. You were created. That's your first priority. You were designed to be a living, breathing, healthy soul. This is the garden. This is Eden. This is the ultimate promise place. This is prosperity at its highest form, health at its highest form. And so God says, you were created in this position, this potential. And so sometimes we weaken scripture like, okay, God, like, that was them. What about now? Well, the Bible says we're in a greater covenant now. We should be able to tap into soul health now on a whole nother level. To the creative aspect that God wanted us to be healthy. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. I mean, we've all gotten sick at some point, but we have a healer. We've all got depressed, but we have an encourager. We've all gotten uncomfortable, but we have a comforter. It's not like God's put you out there and said, you can't really have that now. He says, no, I'll put you out there and you can have everything. Can you connect correctly in here with it? Can you process it correctly in here? So you were created to holy, healthy, succeeding. I'm convinced if we get whole in our soul, I think the world will want what we have. But when they come up and they see we're just as screwed up as they are, I like that. That's real. No, that's bondage. That's not real. Real is being free. Jesus come to set you free. Jesus comes so that you could live in liberty and power and truth. Stop settling for the things that make your soul unhealthy. So I'm reading the scripture in Romans chapter 2, chapter 12, verse 2, and I'm reading about the renewed mind. And that the person that has a renewed mind can step into the will of God, even the perfect will of God for their life. I said, Lord, that's amazing. And the Lord said to me, yeah, but let me tell you what your problem is. I said, if I say no, will you still tell me? Absolutely. Listen to this. Most of us stop at partial renewal. Partial renewal is when you get to a place where you're comfortable in what's happening in your life and you say, I like it here. I think I'll camp for a while. And the Bible says, you read the Amplified version of Romans 12 and 2, it says, the entire renewal of your mind. Listen, the word soul is your mind. It's the entire renewal of your soul. And what happens is we try to live with this new wine with an old wineskin. Thinking the same, functioning the same, acting the same. And it never lasts because it just bursts. It's kind of a waste. Let me give you another truth about the soul. We can have supernatural, spiritual encounters, but if our soul is not healthy, it won't last. We just look for the next encounter. Because the soul is the soil of the core of who you are. Read the parable of the sower and the seed and the soil. The soil is your soul. He puts seed. Everything that God does is intentional. Every experience, every word, every prophetic word, every truth he gives you is seed to the soil. But if you're not willing to tend the soil, it's going to be hard for seed to grow. I don't know how many things I've had in my life where I'd had to go back over the same lesson and the same lesson and the same lesson and the same lesson and the same lesson. I'm saying, what's going on, Lord? And the Lord says, you're not managing your soul right in that area. You're not managing your soul. Jamie, you need to start managing your soul. My soul, listen, your soul is not work-driven. It's connection-driven. Your soul is connection-driven. Right? I'm the tree, you are the... Yeah. Yeah. So the Lord said, how would it look if you and I spend a little time working on some soul stuff? You know, one of the teachings that we've done several times is the power of soul ties. And it's a powerful truth, but I think we underestimate it because mostly we make soul ties about people. What are the soul ties of your mind and your desires and your emotions? Right? So if you have fear, you've made It's not a person. Fear is not a person. Fear is a spirit. So if you have fear, you've actually connected an unhealthy soul tie to a spirit of fear. Yeah, it's going to be fun. We're going to have so much fun over the next several weeks. So it's your inward emotional and intellectual energy. Emotional means the state of your feelings. So it's what dominates your mind. This is your soul. It's what dominates your mind, your desires, your appetites, and your feelings. That's your emotions. Okay? The intellectual energy, listen to this, is speculation and how you receive and dissect truth. It's how you see truth, how you speculate it, the knowledge, the truth, what it means. How do I function in it? How do I operate it in it? How do I receive it? This all has to do with your soul. And God says you are meant to be wholly healthy in all of these areas so you could prosper in all things. I said, Lord, these promises, sometimes I read promises, and in my soul, the lie that lives in my soul says, yeah, that's not real, really realistic. You know, the Bible says it's better to be poor and walk in righteousness. I said, that's not true. How can you walk in righteousness when you're poor? You don't feel like walking in anything when you're poor. God said, that's because your mind has not been renewed yet to that. I mean, read the Beatitudes. The poor this, the poor that, the poor this, the poor that, the poor this. Doesn't mean broke. Poor means that you're in a healthy state and perspective of how you see yourself in relationship to God. The danger of having wealth is when you stop seeing him as your provider. Right? The danger of succumbing to sickness and death is not seeing him as your healer. And that happens up here. Right? So the power for me of soul connection is one of the things the Lord said to me, he said, right now in this season, I need you to be present. I said, I'm getting presents. No, he said, I mean present. I mean, if you're going to be intimate with me, I need you to be present in your soul. Let me touch your thoughts. Let me touch your desires. Let me touch what it is you want to seek. See, you know, the hard thing about ministry is I've learned this, that if I'm going to do ministry healthy, or if I'm going to do marriage healthy, if I'm going to do life healthy, it has to be from a healthy place, from within. If you're not healthy within, listen to this. Even spirit encounters can be hard to maintain and achieve and keep if you have an unhealthy soul. Truth is meant to create in you a renewed mind, a new attitude, a new perspective, so that you can see the perfect will of God for you in allness, which is prosperity and health and divine relationship. When we miss those elements, well, then we start moving away from what we're called and what we're created to actually be. Now, years ago, I preached a message on being so sin-focused that we miss what it means to be grace-focused and love-focused. See, I grew up, the church I grew up in was sin-conscious constantly. Sin, worry about sin. Don't sin. Worry about sin. Worry about sin. It was outward. What am I doing out there? It's going to affect my soul. Whatever I do there, boy, if I blow it, that's it. I'm doomed. If I die today, I'm going to hell. I've missed it. Bam, over and over again. And I realized, oh my goodness, I'm living from out there in when I should be living from in here out. I should be living from this place of intimacy, because a healthy soul equals a healthy life. And he says, even as, or just as. That word even as in the original language means this: when your soul prospers, then you truly prosper. Let me ask you a question. Are there unbelievers prospering? Hello? Bill Gates?
So the outward prosperity doesn't necessarily mean that you're healthy on the inside. And when you start depending on somebody else to manage your soul, it really gets messed up. Because you're placing them in a position that only you were created to maintain.
Me and my wife, we always joke about this. And it's really is a joke. So I'll say something and just say, well, you're not the boss of me. And so we could be driving in the car and she'll say something. I'll say, I want you to know you're not the boss of me. I may be accountable to you, but I'm learning to manage me. Right? I'm not going to do something to hurt my wife and then blame her for me hurting her. Well, if you wouldn't have. Oh, so your anger now is my responsibility. Your incorrect response is my responsibility. I mean, if you're married, this is probably one of the greatest revelations you could ever get. That your problems mostly in marriage are inside of you. I've done marriage conferences where the husband or the wife, when I say things, they go, And we forget the soul management of aspect of who we're actually called to be. And so God is trying to wake us up to a place where we begin to function in our soul. Now listen, I want you to see this, okay? This is one definition I love. I read this definition online. I think it was some guy posted it, definition of a soul. It says, the positive expression of self. Listen. In connection with your emotions, your beliefs, your choices, your will, your wisdom, your processing, your knowledge, and your view of life. I know that's a lot. You'll probably have. Let me read it one more time for you. Cool. Okay. I know there's a lot. He says, the soul is the positive expression of self in connection to your emotions, your beliefs, your choices, your will, your wisdom, your processing, your knowledge, and your view of life in general. I said, Lord, I don't see anywhere the disciples had healthy souls. Oh, he said, oh, really? James said, I count it all joy when I fall into diverse temptations. How was he able to do that? His soul was positioned correctly. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 7 and 4, I am joyful in tribulation. I mean, how do you do that? Guy broke into my house. I'm so happy. I had some stuff I wanted to get rid of anyway. Insurance checks coming. I'm getting some new stuff. It's going to be really cool. These guys had this soul transformation that moved them into a place. I'm just laying the foundation for really how important your soul is. So here's what Paul said to Timothy. In 1 Timothy 4:16, Paul's given Timothy this incredible truth. This is the Passion Translation. Give careful attention to your spiritual life. And if I was to be honest, I think one of the greatest hindrances to the church for and I'm not ragging the church. I love the bride. And it's my own thing too. I think sometimes what's happening to us, we're really not giving a lot of attention to our spiritual life. We're giving our attention to all kinds of other stuff. I mean, if you were to be honest with me, and I was to say to you, can you tell me how much you give to your spiritual life versus this, what would it look like for you? How much do you read the Word? How much do you spend time with Jesus? Sometimes we make reading the Word, that's a dirty religious word. No, it's not. It's the Word. It's your bread and butter, baby. Without it, you starve. We've done ourselves injustices. To some degree, some of the things that we call actually religious are not religious at all. It's just the enemy tricking us to get rid of the stuff that brings health to our souls. Oh, you're just praying because, you know, you're wanting to be spiritual. Yeah, I am. I'm trying to be spiritual. I'm trying to feed my spirit, man.
You read the Bible to do this and get this. Absolutely, 100%. Right? It'd be like somebody saying, I go to the gym, but I really don't want to be well-built. So eat hot dogs the whole time I work out. French fries. So what happens is we get robbed. And here's what he says. Give careful attention to your spiritual soul in every cherished truth you teach for living. Now listen to this. Timothy is talking about a transformation that takes place on the inside. Then he says, what you preach will release salvation inside of you. When he's talking about talking, here's what Timothy's talking about. He's saying, you need to have a conversation with this. With what truth looks like with this. Because it releases salvation inside of you, and the effect of that is every time you speak, when people listen, they'll see the fruit of a healthy mind and soul. It's a simple revelation. It's the simple power of truth. And this is something that I really encourage you to go home and just kind of dissect this for yourself. My question is, what are you doing to care for your soul? You know the conversations you have with yourself? You know the conversations that you actually have with yourself, right? Right? You know you get really good at when you can ask yourself a question and answer the same question. It's a dangerous, almost split personality thing you're stepping into there, but it's okay. So listen to this. How healthy are your conversations with you? Because this is a big thing when it comes to the perfection of your soul. We always make language about this, what I say to you, what you say to me. So your emotional health, your soul depends on what I say to you. My soul depends on what you say to me. But that's not reality. My soul's emotional health depends on what I say to myself. Because what I speak to myself creates a healthy soul. Out of that comes healthy communication with you. And I can encourage you in your soul. I can encourage you to have a restoration of soul. I can encourage you to move forward in truth and dissect truth for yourself. See, listen, you have to work it out because it just doesn't work out. This is the thing that hit me. The Lord said, Jamie, what are you waiting for? If you're wanting a healthy soul, it just doesn't work out. You got to work it out. And you got to put your feet on the trail. You got to get a hold of the bar. I mean, you got to do what you've got to do. The Holy Spirit is not just going to show up and transform you. Yeah. He'll move in the way where he wants to transform you and change you, but you always have a part in the relationship. It's you adapting to truth, receiving truth, declaring truth, having the conversation. And I shared this before when I was journaling back probably several years ago, and the Lord said, I'm going to start talking to you about how I see you. And I would sit there, and the Lord would say, I want you to write down everything I say. And the Lord would say, I see you like this. And I would sit there and go, I cannot write that. Why? I don't see you seeing me like that. I see me less. I see me weaker. I see me defeated. I see me in shame. I see me in this. I see me unsuccessful. And when I started writing stuff, and he says, and I want you to start declaring this to yourself. Have you ever tried to prophesy over yourself? What would that sound like? Thus saith the Lord, you're amazing. I see you coming into a season of beauty and health and muscular body. It's going to be incredible. Listen, that's how ridiculous I felt when the Holy Spirit began to say, this is how I see you. Let me hear you say it. I was like, God, why can't I say this? damaged soul. Past relationships, hurts, abuse for some, failures for some, insecurity, unhealthy expectation, a need for acceptance because you can't accept yourself. So you only fully feel accepted in and of yourself only if you're accepted by others. And it's just a little flag of, oh, my soul is not healthy in that area. A need for approval. Let me tell you this. Let me tell you something about Jesus that's amazing. His approval is enough. And he absolutely 100% approves of you. And if there's anybody in this room that hasn't made a mistake, I want to talk with you after because I want to know how you did that. And so what happens is I can talk my soul into an unhealthy place or I can talk my soul out of an unhealthy place. And we blame the unhealthiness of our marriage, the unhealthiness of our kids, the unhealthiness of our finances, the unhealthiness of everything around our life on somebody else when it's actually an issue with our own soul. You know, the church isn't growing because the pastor's not preaching this and this and this and this. He's just not letting everything just go. Point, point, point. Nobody wants to take responsibility when actually it was cool tonight. You know, you see a testimony and healing, then you see a tongues interpretation, and you see all this, you see a word of exhortation, and you see all this stuff. And it's like, let me ask you this. Be honest with yourself. When you're here, what does you being present look like? Are you bored in 15 minutes? Are you like, yeah, that last episode of Chosen come out. I think there's a new superhero, Black Poison or something, coming out. Are you actually present? Or are you like so sleepy, so disengaged? Well, think about it. Lord said to me, I need you present. I can't come in and sit in the front pew and go, my gosh, I wish Julie would stop already. Doug, sit down for heaven's sakes. I got a message to give. It's from an unhealthy soul. So I have to come in to have a healthy soul. I have to be present. So I have to say, Holy Spirit, I can preach. I don't have to preach. I'm more important. It's more important for me that you're present than my present being in control of everything. I just want to be present in your presence. And out of that, we all begin to have healthy souls because we realize there's this thing called grace, there's this thing called mercy, there's this thing called growing in love and growing in community and growing in connection and growing in comfort and growing in intimacy that we all are meant to be a part of. And one of my favorite, you know, probably writers of all time is David. David talked more about a healthy soul than anybody in the Bible. Psalm 23. He kicks right off with intimacy. Lead me beside still waters. Man, that's me. Like, Lord, give me a fly rod. Take me to a still water. I'm on. I'll catch a big fish, roll around in green pastures. Right? Here's what he says. In that place of intimacy, you restore my soul. And David goes on to all the challenges of life. You make a table in the presence of my... And listen, if you're going to have a place in the presence of your enemies, my key healing truth for when you have enemies is eat. You prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. He's talking about no worry, no anxiety. You got this, so I might as well just have a sandwich. Here's what he says. He says, you lead me into this intimate place. You restore my soul. Then he goes into, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You set a table in the presence of, he gives this, all this stuff. And he says, but I'm able to do it all. Why? Because I was in this place of being present with you and my soul was restored. Yes. There's a different level of there's a different lens. There's different desires. There's different, all these things that the soul is, there's a different thought process. There's a different inward language that gets developed when your soul is healthy. Listen, you can listen to the language you declare to yourself and tell whether or not you have a healthy soul. The Holy Spirit don't need to point it out. I can sit with you 5 minutes and say, how's life going? It really sucks right now. I'm angry. I'm bitter. I've been so challenged in the last 4 weeks in my soul area with people. It's like this mixture roller coaster, being angry and being happy and trying to, you know, delegate and manage what things look like to me with people. Meeting one person, good to see you. Meeting another person, it's just this emotional. I'm saying, Lord, what is going on? He said, well, hey, if you're going to preach about the soul, you might as well deal with your own. And so the Lord's been uncovering. So I've been going through myself with, you know, doing the unhealthy soul ties. I've been going through, you know, forgiveness prayers. I've been going through all these different things. I got this little book that we're going to bring, and it runs you all through these processes and these prayers and these things that you can declare over yourself in a healthy way to bring freedom to you. And David's big thing with freedom, you know, if I was to ask, you would ask me, Pastor, what would be the one thing that you would want God to declare about you? My one thing in the Bible is what God said about David. He has a heart after me. Yes. And God said, isn't that amazing? It's beautiful, isn't it? He said, yeah, but listen to the second part. Who desires to do all my will. Yes, listen to this. David's position of his soul created in him a desire to please and be content just with God. So I said, so Lord, if your heart is not my focus, does that mean my heart, which the soul means your heart, your mind, your breath? It's the core of you. So if your will is not my focus, does that mean I've got weak areas in my soul? Because we're like, you know, hey, we got to do life. I can do life with Jesus. I can do work with Jesus. I can shop for groceries with Jesus. Right? You can do your job with Jesus. We define Jesus in areas of our life, and church has an area of our life, and our devotion has an area of life. So I do this then, but when I'm not doing this, I'm doing this with my soul. And it's robbed us of living out this freedom of our soul, where we're always in tune with what God is trying to say, trying to do, trying to manifest in our life. And it's robbed us of one of the greatest things, that we actually carry revival. What would life look like for you if you actually saw yourself fully like Jesus saw you? Now, let me say it again. Everybody be present for a moment. Go like this. Slap your neighbor. Wake up. Get off your phone. What would life look like for you presently if you actually saw yourself fully how Jesus saw you? Let me ask you this. Would you pray for every sick person you met? Oh, would you pray for every sick person you met? Would you witness? Would you testify? Huh? Right? Why? Because something's affected your soul. I'm convinced that the number one issue for the bride today is a soul issue. Knowledge in and of itself does not guarantee you a healthy soul. The disciples said to Jesus, "How do we know that we love you? Describe what that looks like for us, Jesus." He said, "Those who love me hear my word and keep it. Hear my word and obey it." Listen to this, and I'm about to close. There's so much here. Any truth that you get that doesn't transform you has not been seated in your soul. The truth of God is 100% creative and transformative. He spoke this whole thing that you and I live into existence. There's nothing that he says that doesn't have a creative transformation aspect to who you are. So the Lord said, "You remember that thing I was speaking to you? Yeah, Lord, that was pretty cool." He said, "Yeah, but it never took root." Why? Because the soil wasn't ready, or there was some stuff in the soil like thorns and briars and rocks that hindered it. So you can live in an experience, but if your soul is unhealthy, that experience and encounter may not transform you. Now listen to this. If it really hits the soil, the parable of the seed and the soil is it's going to produce something, even if it's 30, 60, but it has the potential to produce 100. But the revelation is it produces something. So if it's not producing nothing, you haven't got it yet. Because there's something going on in your soul that makes you not able to receive it. It's like me saying, offending you and saying, "I'm sorry. I'm really sorry, Heather. I didn't mean to hurt you." And you're like, "Yeah, whatever, okay." And then you're still mad. The issue is not that I'm not repentive. The issue that is there's something going on in your soul. It may not even be me. It may be hurt from everybody and 1,000 people that's told you they were sorry and never really were sorry. But now because you've not really dealt with that areas in your, you can't receive the truth that I'm giving you, "Heather, I'm sorry." Are you catching me? So an unhealthy soul actually makes you reject truth. Why? Because it doesn't have a healthy place to land. I didn't walk out in my backyard. I know it's concrete, but I'm going to throw some seeds down and hope for tomatoes. Here's the thing about your soul I want you to get. I know I'm moving a lot. Here's the thing about this is how your soul works. If you don't take time for your soul, you'll go along life and you're putting along, but, and all of a sudden you get out of gas. Your emotions are all over the place. You're tired, you're burnt out, you're angry, you're quick, you're depressed, you're full of anxiety, you're full of worry. Then it gets worse. You're putting along and gas is one thing. Now you got a flat tire. I don't have time to fix a flat tire. Oh my gosh, I'm having to do this. There is no rest. There is no recovery. Listen, when I'm frustrated in my soul and I'm frustrated that I have to slow down and rest my soul, there's actually no recovery because I can't receive because I'm doing it from an unhealthy soul. And the revelation is if you keep going without doing something for your soul where you restore your soul, you'll end up in a crash. And now it's not only bad for you, it's bad for the people around you. Your crash has affected them. Your words, your language, your actions, your responses. I used to blame when I was a young guy doing drugs and all. I used to blame all of my issues on the church. Church, they're nothing but a bunch of hateful hypocrites. When you stand before God, you're going to be responsible for your soul. Not mama, not papa. Not the person that's done you right or wrong. You are going to be responsible for managing your soul. Whether you repented and lived your life in Jesus to the best of your ability. The greatest freedom that I experienced in my deliverance was that I was doing drugs because I was jacked up. Not because they were jacked up. And I'm not even saying they didn't even have part of me being jacked up, but the blame was me. I can be faced with a situation that makes me angry, but in my soul, the cool thing is I get to decide whether or not I want to be angry. Or I can be angry and not sin. That's the management of my soul. I mean, me and my wife don't have a perfect marriage. We have moments where we get a little upset and life gets tiresome, and then everything she says, the little subtle things, everything I say, the little subtle things, it's like, yeah. I can't believe you told me to pick up hot dogs. I'm not a machine. I know I'm in Walmart. How dare you inconvenience me? I just came for deodorant, and that's all I want. I stink, and you're telling me to pick up hot dogs. It's a little petty, stupid stuff. And you're like, oh, my gosh. At the end of the day, it's like, yeah, you're a little angry today about the weenies. Yeah, I'm not having a good soul day. It's just not a good soul day. I ran into somebody, and they reminded me of something they did to me. And my response to everybody outside in their circle around me revealed to me that my soul was not healthy in my relationship of what was done. You know why? Soul matters just don't work out. You got to work them out. You have to learn to manage your soul, your thoughts, your emotions. I'll share this testimony. Most of you know my testimony. When I come off drugs, I love being stoned. I'm not going to lie to you. I love being able to transport myself to some totally different reality because I hated everybody I knew. Made me funny, made me bleh. I lived in this false identity until I crashed. Until it never made me feel good anymore. It just made me depressed and want to kill myself. And I overdosed time after time after time. It's just a grace of God. Right? That's where I was living. And so when I got saved, I lived in this place of anxiety. The depression got so bad for 6 months. I lost several jobs. I would cry myself to sleep. I would sleep with my Bible. I was sleeping with the light on. I was afraid of the dark, afraid I was going to die, afraid everything, every little pain. I'm dying. Go to hell. I mean, I repented 5 million times while I was saved. And I just realized, hey, I'm going to have to take responsibility for this. So, Father, the only thing I know is to go after you. So I literally became a Bible Jesus junkie. I ate, slept, breathed, lived the Word of God. And I never realized it. I instantly got free. And now looking back, I asked the Lord, what happened there? You know what he said? You managed your soul well. You rejected the negative thoughts. You battled the fear. You battled the anxiety. I've counseled people over the years, and when I tell them my story and how much I read and how much I spent with God, it was like, yeah, I don't know if I can do all that. Is there a simple version? Yeah, I guess. Get a pill. And since then, I've realized, like, if Brian hurts me, it may not be right, but I have to manage my soul in that process. So the Bible gives me clues. Go to him who's offended you. Hey, Brian, you hurt my feelings. Oh, Jamie, I'm so sorry I mean to hurt your feelings, man. I'm sorry if I did that. Okay, Brian, I receive that. If I don't manage my soul well, I walk around, hey, no, you know what Brian said about me? He's a real toad. And then he goes, who's Brian think he is? I could break him like a twig. I get this process going on. But I want you to see how easy God makes it. Hey, Jamie, if you have a problem with Brian, hey, Brian, you hurt me. I'm sorry, Jamie. Cool, Brian, let's continue. or manage my soul as, wow, Brian, I can't believe you said that. You know what Brian said? Did you hear what Brian said? Brian said this. You know Brian? I hate Brian. You don't like Brian either, do you? If I was you, I wouldn't hang out with Brian. He's ignorant. I mean, it just escalates. Here's what I'm doing, though. Watch this. I'm opening the door for more bad thoughts, bad emotions. It's okay to show your emotions. We told our kids for a long time, you're not allowed to show your emotions. We're pastors. Hide your emotions. And then one darling realized, oh my gosh, our kids have to show their emotions. We just have to learn, help them learn to process those emotions healthy. So we didn't let them slam doors. Anybody have kids that slam doors? What? It's an unhealthy process. Right? Smother the dog, beat the dog, kick the dog. They're unhealthy processes. So we define, this is what an emotion looks like. That's how you deal with emotion. We were actually dealing, listen, there's so much stuff going on with you right now that has nothing to do with the devil. It just has to do with you managing your soul. Because you're a soul man. Do-do-do-do-do-do. That's who you are. Go ahead, stand to your feet. I'll give you the rest here later. There's so much here. So I want to read this. I want to end with Proverbs 16:24. The wisest man in the world told us how to be healthy within ourselves. Now, I'm reading this verse. I have a tendency, and you guys that study, you teach, you know, I have a tendency sometimes to read scripture for your perspective. So I read a verse, I say, oh my gosh, I'm going to preach that. People need to hear that. Right? I want you to hear the hardest thing about being gifted. Listen, you can be gifted and have an unhealthy soul. Listen, I've known people that have prophesied out of an unhealthy soul. It's not a good place to be. You cannot live healthy in the spirit with an unhealthy soul. Because you'll prophesy according to your emotions. I'm having a rough day. Yeah, I got a word for you. God says you may not live for the next 3 months. It's not looking good. Or I saw you struggling and it was terrible and this tree just fell on you. I mean, it's just, I can do ministry. Listen to this now. I can do ministry to you out of religion or out of relationship. And you do not want the religious version. So I love this psalm. And I'm reading it. And the Lord said, oh, what does this conversation look like with yourself? Listen to it. I love it. Proverbs 16:24, Passion Translation. Nothing is more appealing than speaking life-giving words. For they release sweetness to what? Whose soul? So who are you talking to? Who are you speaking these words to? For they release sweetness to the souls and inner healing to our spirits. Let me read the Amplified. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the mind and healing to the body. Mind and body, heart, thoughts, are all soul terms. Even the word desire in the Bible is a soul term. He knows the desires of your heart. He knows what's going on in your soul, Brian. He knows what's happening. Listen to this, out of the Message. Gracious speech is like clover honey. Good taste to the soul. Now watch this. Watch how it affects the outside. That's the inside. Quick energy to your life. That's what the word body here means. Quick energy to your life. For 3.5 weeks, I've been having conversations with my soul. Why do you think that way? Why would you say that? Lord, if I was to prophesy, what would I say about myself? Would it be exhorting? Would it be encouraging? It's almost like if I'm unhealthy, I want to prophesy unhealthy to you. So if I'm fearful, I'll speak to you about fear, not love, because the actual reality of the truth of my soul is I actually do live in the opposite spirit of the negative. So if I seek fear in somebody, perfect love. It's normal for me. If I want to reap a harvest of a healthy soul, I'm going to speak love over you because love casts out fear. But if I have fear and I focus on fear, I'm not doing nothing. I'm just empowering what's in you and empowering what's in me. And the ministry that I'm doing is ineffective. I don't know why. There's something about us in our nature that we like the dirt in people. We even look for the dirt in people. When actually we're called to look for the gold in people. That's what prophecy is. Prophecy is me seeing and declaring to you how God sees you and declares to you. So if Jesus was to have a conversation with you where your soul is right now, how do you think you'd hear that conversation? Would it be, I love you, you're awesome, you're amazing? Yeah, but you, no, that's not how I see you. Yeah, but last week, no, I don't see you from a sin perspective. I see you from a grace perspective. And I'm totally sufficient for you. David did some crazy things. Had an affair, killed a woman's wife, and was back on the throne in 3 days. Why? David had a revelation about managing his soul. It doesn't make it right. Don't go and do it and say, well, I can do what David did. That's not what it's about. His heart, his position of his heart naturally pulled him back to who God saw him as, the king. It's hard for us. It's a hard thing for me. It's okay not to be perfect, but it's not okay to allow your soul to be attacked where it becomes unhealthy. It's not about being perfect. It's about perfecting the saints. It's the process. We are going to have so much fun. Listen, I am going to get you so free in your soul. The Holy Spirit's going to, and I'm still processing, okay? But I'm going to end with this question. If you were to say to me tonight, okay, Pastor, right now, listening to you, this is the number one greatest enemy of my soul. What would it be? What would it be? What would that look like for you? For me, way back then, for me, my greatest number one enemy when I first got saved was I put the blame on everybody else for where I was at. It's not like they held me down. You're going to do drugs, whether you like it or not. Inhale. Snort. It wasn't like that. It's like, oh, wow, I actually had a decision. So you create with this cool thing called a will. And from that will, from that emotion, from that vision, that sense that you have is where the soul comes into place. So let's close our eyes. So, Father, we come to you tonight. You're amazing. And everybody here, Father, this is not about pointing at our weakness. It's about you bringing truth so we can be free from those weaknesses. You're kind. You don't shame us, but like a good father with any child, you don't want to see us living in lack of who we are and what we have access to. So you just kind of gently point things out. And you invite us. You invite us to deal with issues, to engage with you and receive the healing that we need. And so we just ask you, Holy Spirit, that if we were to deal just with one issue, not many, just one issue tonight, what would that be? And highlight it in our lives. What's hindering me from being prosperous and healthy in this area of my life? And I'm going to do a little something a little different for the altar call tonight. I'm going to ask, I know we've got ministry team ready to go. I want that ministry team to come, if you'll come right now. And then I want any of you that are here that are extras on the ministry team that are not in business tonight to come, because we're going to pray for some people. Squeeze in. Looking for a scripture I want to leave you with. It's pretty powerful. I can find it. Give me a minute, see if I can find this. I want to read it over you. Close your eyes. Well, I want to encourage you. When you go home, go to 1 Corinthians 13, and I think it starts at verse, I'm thinking maybe 4 through to 7 or 8. And read what love looks like. And when you're reading it, I want you to think about, this is Jesus' perspective of you in love. Did they put the scripture up? Yeah. Love is very patient and kind. Never jealous or envious. Never boastful or proud. Never haughty or selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. It's not irritable or touchy. Does not hold grudges. And will hardly even notice. How can you not notice? Your soul's healthy. So just put your hands out. We're going to open it up. And Braden, if you just want to just sing just a chorus tonight. And I just really feel there's going to be some healing for your soul. And here's what I want you to do. These people are going to, we're going to minister to you. But I want you to ask, when you feel like you've released that to the Lord, here's what I want you to do. When you go home tonight, I want you to sit down. I want you to take out a piece of paper and say, Lord, how do I manage this now? How do I protect my heart from this? What do I look for? I want to catch what where this came from. I want to be able to shut the door to it. I want freedom in this area permanently in my soul. I'm not living here anymore. I want freedom. So, Holy Spirit, if you've discovered that one thing that you want to deal with tonight, just one thing, it's so simple, one thing, this one thing, I want you to come up, and I want you to find somebody here, and just ask them to pray with you about it. Don't let shame, don't let fear, we've all got unhealthy soul issues. It's an invitation of the Holy Spirit. Go ahead, Brayden.